Cast. I'm Welcome. Nate Fowler.
And I'm Jay Williams.
And we're here to talk about covert hypnosis.
Yes, we are. So we mentioned it before.
We mentioned it, yes. And we've talked a little bit about what you could do with it and how it works. A little bit. A tiny bit.
Well, we're going to go back to the future and talk about covert hypnosis from a more understanding standpoint.
Yes.
Because some of those understandings are important.
Yes.
You knew the ones we're talking about.
Exactly.
Good.
So you might be asking yourself, or you may have heard different things about what covert hypnosis is. Just the idea of the word covert means that it is unknown to people around you that you're doing it, or that you are unknowing that people around you are doing it.
Yeah.
That's hopefully the idea of what you're doing it is.
Yeah, basically covert. It's how to influence people with conversation.
Right.
Just to create a particular idea in someone's mind so that they think it's their own.
And that idea has to be something that is ethical.
That would be much more beneficial.
Yes.
Yes.
It has to be something that you would feel comfortable doing if you were in their shoes, yeah. I would say.
So let's do the disclaimer.
Yes.
What we're about to talk about, in fact, all of the tools that we teach in NLP or hypnosis can be used for good or nefarious purposes.
Yes.
It's totally up to you how you use the tools, just like a hammer.
Yep.
You can use a hammer to build a house or destroy someone.
Yep.
I would highly recommend that you use the tools with integrity and honor, because the other stuff does come back. Karma is a mother.
Yes. And part of the reasons that I teach personally these techniques is that if more people know about them, it's not that they're less effective, but that you're more aware of when they're being used.
Right, because there are people out there who will use these kinds of tools against you for nefarious purposes.
Yep.
And to influence you against what you know is correct.
Right. Yeah. Doesn't mean it will work, just means that that is their goal.
Right. And so knowing, knowledge of the techniques can prevent you from being taken advantage of. And that's one of our goals, one of our outcomes for this series is to do just that.
Right.
And to talk about cool stuff, too, that you can do and have fun with it.
Exactly. Because the thing about it is it's covert, it's secret, it's sneaky, it's fun.
Secret knowledge is always good.
Yes.
So let's talk about hypnosis, first of all, because that word can conjure up different ideas in people. So
right.
If you haven't listened to our sigil cast on what is hypnosis, let's just recap just for a moment some of the misunderstandings people have.
Right. Oh, well, yeah, for covert hypnosis, there's a few misunderstandings. So, well, yes.
Right. For hypnosis in general, but specifically for covert hypnosis,
right.
People think hypnosis is mind control.
Right.
Poppycock.
It is not mind control by any means necessary. It is actually a form of guided trance.
Yes. Let's talk about trance.
What is trance?
What is trance?
Trance is a state that our mind can go into naturally. It allows us to do a lot of different things. It allows us to relax. It allows us to access memories. It allows us to do a whole bunch of things that we do every day. In fact, we go into trance all the time.
Trance is essentially an altered state.
Yes.
And there are many different variations, many different definitions of trance. Some people think trance isn't important. Some people think it is important. We're not here to debate that.
No.
We're here to discuss how the mind and the other than conscious mind processes information.
Yes.
There are many ways to create that state of being, that state of mind.
Right.
Where someone processes information easily.
When you said the state of mind, I immediately went back to the Twilight Zone.
That's right.
With your state of mind. Anyway.
One of the ways that one can shift into that slightly relaxed state is the pattern that I'm doing right now. Just simply shifting the cadence of my voice causes your mind to want to push ahead but not quite ready to. So it's looking for the next part of the sentence before I actually finish it. That's just a quick demonstration of a form of altered consciousness. Yeah. As I was saying that, you probably noticed that your mind was trying to catch up with what I was saying, maybe even read my mind and finish the sentence before I got there. And that's kind of a fun place to put people.
Yeah.
You know, because you could actually start talking about something and then not finish your... And the unconscious mind wants to complete the thought for me. And it probably did. Inside your mind, you probably actually came up with a word that would finish that sentence or that thought.
So if you have these thoughts that you're trying to finish, you have all of these things that are going through your mind that it's trying to match a pattern to, essentially.
Right.
Our brains are constantly looking for patterns. We're trying to make sense of the world around us.
Mm-hmm. And attach meaning.
And attach a meaning to it. And right. If we can find a meaning in words that is there, regardless of if we are aware of it, right. Our mind is making sense of it.
Yeah, so let's talk about the making sense part, right? Because let's talk about how trance in communication works. And there's kind of a simple idea, simple metaphor. Like, for example, right now, I am holding in my hand something I'm going to describe. Now let's use something else. Hang on a second. Okay, I'm going to go over here.
Just a minute.
All right, I have just gone over to the board in our classroom, and I have taken from the board an Expo chisel tip green dry erase marker. And as I say that, your mind probably created an image of an Expo green chisel tip dry erase marker. It's a very specific description of something.
In fact, here.
Certainly. Yeah.
Yeah, you can smell that.
Can you smell the chisel tip marker there? Here, let's put it, hold it closer to the microphone so they can smell it.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Smells like a dry erase marker.
Exactly.
That's right. I wonder if it tastes like one. certainly does. Okay, good. So if I say Expo green chisel tip dry erase marker, your mind creates a very specific image of what I have in my hand. Now, that's a specific description. So your mind isn't really in trance. It's making sense. You have a very easy to recognize image in your mind. If you've ever seen a dry erase marker, you know what I'm talking about. But if I say, I went over the board a moment ago, and in my hand now I'm holding an implement of an unimaginable creativity. Now, in your mind, that's so abstract. If you type that into the search engine of your mind, millions of things might come under the heading of implement of unimaginable creativity.
Well, hopefully.
Hopefully. Because it's very nondescript, very unspecific. And in order for your mind to go into that place, you have to go and do what's called a transderivational search, or TDS. And that transderivational search it means you kind of go inside and you take a moment, and your unconscious or other than conscious mind is trying to process and get an image by attaching a meaning to the words. So it's trying to get an image of what I'm talking about.
Right.
But as you think of that now, an image of an implement of unimaginable creativity, there's really nothing there. It's whatever your mind fills in the blank. So hopefully that kind of gives an idea. And the more abstract the concept, the more altered state you become, you enter into, and that's the essence, that's the basis of what we're talking about when we talk about conversational influence or conversational hypnosis.
Well, let's give people an example of how they might have actually already experienced this.
Very good.
If we are in a conversation, I'm sure, I know I've been in conversations where I'm talking to the person or they're talking to me, and one of us just kind of zones out completely. And we just kind of start thinking about, oh, they said this. Now that means that I should think about this, and I'm going to... They talked about food, so where am I going to go Friday night? Lunch?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting kind of hungry myself.
Yeah, and just all these voices in my head, what just time is thinking it about what I want to do. And, wait, they're talking to me still. I got to pay attention.
Oops.
Yeah.
And you've zoned out on half the conversation.
Exactly.
And maybe they say, well, what do you think? And you go, oh, you have that moment of realization that you haven't been paying attention whatsoever. Welcome to altered states of consciousness.
So we go through this process all the time. Yeah. We are actually going into hypnosis, going into trance, with other people taking us there. They're not aware that they're doing it. Hmm? We're not aware that we're doing it. It's part of our natural speech patterns. It's right. part of what we do. And what covert hypnosis does is it allows us to have access to that and take advantage of it. Make right. it so that we choose when we want to use it yeah. instead of it just happening and us not being able to control it.
That's one of the things that we talk about with NLP and hypnosis all the time. NLP is not really a technique. NLP is a catalog of how the mind works.
Right.
And by knowing the certain sequences, the syntax, the keys to making to how people think, we can use them purposefully to direct a conversation or direct the images that are created in someone's mind. Same thing with conversational hypnosis. Exactly the same thing. This is something that, as Nate says, we do all the time. But if we know how to create that state purposefully, we can actually do it intentionally at will.
Right. And that at-will state is something that we want to have in people around us. We want to have them receptive to whatever we're saying, asking, or trying to communicate. We want them to be able to communicate back to us because they are so receptive. And that state allows us to make our ideas be shared. It allows us to make it so that we aren't just talking. We're actually exchanging information.
Right, we're painting a picture in the mind of the subject or the person that we're talking to. One of the things that I talk about a lot, particularly when I teach metaphor classes and things like that, is that, you know, as a society, as a culture, we've been trained to make things very quick and succinct.
Right.
Make them make sense.
Right.
Give very detailed, specific descriptions without doing a lot of sensory language.
Right.
So, like, if I were to tell you, you know, I want you to think of a time when you went on vacation. Now, your unconscious mind created a picture of a vacation that you've been on or a vacation you might like to take, but I have no control over that. I have no idea what you're thinking right now. However, if I were to say, it was midnight, and the full moon was glinting off the waves as you walked along the sand of your favorite beach, and you notice how the air feels. It's just that perfect temperature, and there's a gentle breeze blowing across your skin. It's not too warm, it's not too cold. It's just right. And you can actually go there, and I know with a reasonable sense of security what it is, the picture that I've created in your mind. And that's just the simple idea of how to craft your sentences to create the picture that you want someone to think about. Now, how do we apply that? That's a big thing.
Well, there's lots of different applications. Let's say even the simplest one that we actually experience every day, storytelling.
Storytelling. Powerful way to deliver your message.
We watch television. We watch movies. We listen to the radio. We listen to music.
Exactly right.
All of it is storytelling. All of it is giving us sensory information.
Yeah, and why are stories so entertaining?
Gripping, even.
Yeah. Because we've been programmed. Remember when you were a little child, maybe 5 now? You'd remember something like that. And you think about that time. What was it that you always wanted to do so you didn't have to go to sleep? Right? You wanted to hear a story. What would happen when someone was telling a story? Maybe it's a family gathering, maybe it's Thanksgiving or a holiday or something like that, and you're sitting around and one of the adults decides to tell a story. What are you told? Shh, listen. Grandpa's telling a story.
It's part of who we are.
Right.
It's something that we wait for, we acknowledge, we hunger for it. We know that most Americans on average watch at least 4 hours of television a day.
It's scary.
Because we want to have that fulfillment, that story. Right. Essentially, we're going home and having storytelling time.
Exactly right. And what makes this story so compelling is because we get this image, we get this place where our mind can unlock and go into an emotional state where we get engaged with the story that's being told. The challenge is, how do we recreate that now as a culture? Because we've been kind of programmed away from it in speech. I was actually at a public speaking training once, and a lady got up to the microphone. The subject was, what is your biggest problem in speaking in public, blew my mind. She actually got up on the microphone and said, "I tell too many stories." And the instructor literally told her that she needed to figure out how to make her speech more condensed, more succinct. Blew my mind. I couldn't imagine somebody actually telling somebody not to tell stories.
It blew your mind because storytelling is the most powerful form of being able to communicate that we have.
Yeah, and I mean, imagine.
And that's the thing, is we as a society have thrown away a story.
Correct. I mean, storytelling goes way back.
Well, I mean, every single one of us has that one friend that tells the most crazy, amazing stories.
You know who I'm talking about.
Exactly. And he or she will just walk in the room and say, "Hey," and they'll tell you, they'll say, "Oh my God, have you ever, we just did this most craziest thing." And then they'll tell you this story for 5 minutes. And for 5 minutes,
you
are enraptured.
Riveted.
To the storyteller. You will wait for every word to come out of their mouth because it's going to be just as crazy as they think it is.
And who do you know that you've heard the story? You may have heard them tell the same story 10 times.
And you'll listen to it every time.
Exactly the same way, because you know it's going to be just a little bit different. And even if it's not, you get excited or you enter some kind of an emotional state that's attractive. So you go right with them and listen to the story.
Stories are a powerful part of who we are.
Love using stories.
In fact, most of how we organize things inside our mind are based on stories, memories, the way we construct who we are. If you ask a lot of people, well, actually, you can ask them, you know, why do you do this? So let's say, for example, you can go up to somebody who smokes and you can say, "Why do you smoke?" And they will have a story around why they picked up their first cigarette, how they did it, what they did, or somebody who drank alcohol for the first time, or somebody who kissed for your first kiss.
Mm.
And there's a story around it. And we all have these stories in our heads that we carry around and we cherish.
Right.
They're so important to us that, well, sometimes we cherish.
Sometimes we cherish them, sometimes we dread telling them, right?
Hopefully we cherish.
But there's always a story.
Yes, right. There's always a story. And that's a good point. If we have stories that we carry around with us that we don't cherish, that's something that's part of us.
Right.
And we carry that around sometimes as a lesson, sometimes as part of our identity.
Right. Because the other than conscious wants to attach meaning to everything. Right. That's part of the unconscious mind's job is to attach meaning to everything that happens.
It's looking for that pattern.
Looking for a pattern, looking for the meaning, looking for how to attach. How is this like something else?
Right.
We're a pattern recognition machine. So how do we attach meaning to whatever just happened? How is it like something that we've already experienced? And the more experience that we have in this life, the more we tend to try to generalize experiences. And that's a subject for another conversation.
Right.
How do we create change through conversation? Because that's what this is all about.
Really. That's exactly what it is. So if we're going to create change through conversation, we need to understand a few things about who we're conversing with.
Right.
Who are we communicating with?
Right. So what do we need to know?
Well, we need to know first what their model of the world is.
Good one. What do we mean when we say model of the world?
Well, the model of the world is how they perceive things, how they understand things.
Right.
It doesn't mean you need to know everything about who they are and what they are. It just means you need something to get it started.
Yeah, especially in the context, whatever context is that you're working with. If you're working with a relationship context, knowing how someone frames dating, for example,
right,
might be very important. Which that may not be important if it's in a business context, but whatever the context is, you want to know how they're processing information.
Right.
What's important.
Right.
What are their criteria for having something work?
If you have this information and they have it available to you in some way, because we all carry around pieces of information that are publicly available, whether it's on the internet or on our clothes.
Let me check your Facebook. Let me see what your model of the world is. Okay, cool. Got you covered.
We carry around this information and we make it very accessible because it lets people contact and communicate with us better.
The labels that we use to identify ourselves, the groups that we associate with, another powerful conversation for another time. But, you know, think about an identity of, let's say, conservative. If I know that you value conservatism or
conservative politics.
Conservative politics. Let's say you value yourself, you are a conservative or you identify with conservative or liberal, doesn't matter.
Right.
But whatever the label is,
right.
Just by saying that label, it means something.
Right.
And when one self-identifies into that category, we can understand a lot about their thinking process just by simply the groups that they identify with. The labels that they use to identify themselves.
That doesn't mean that you're mind reading or that you, I mean, because you are mind reading a little bit.
It doesn't mean you're not mind reading.
It doesn't mean you're not mind reading. But it doesn't mean that you're jumping to a conclusion about them.
Right.
So, for example, just because someone is conservative or liberal doesn't mean automatically that they believe X.
Right.
Because every single person is a unique person. And what it does is it gives us a guideline.
Yeah, a framework.
It gives us something to work within that we can kind of find around what's possible to change in their life, what's possible to stay the same.
But it gives you a place to start with your persuasion.
Yes.
Because we're talking about influence.
Yes.
Conversational hypnosis is all about changing minds. It's all about influencing those around you. And clearly, as Nate said, for a win-win situation.
Right.
If you understand where they begin, you know, in that context, you understand even a part of their framework, it makes that influence so much easier. How many times have you gone into a situation where you started a conversation with someone and you were completely, you just couldn't find agreement anywhere? I mean, that happens, right?
Yeah.
What if you could direct that conversation no matter what the situation was so that you could have the conversation that you wanted to have? Powerful, powerful tools.
I'll give you a good example. I know I've run into people who just want to talk about them. And they love to talk about them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's their favorite thing to talk about.
Sure.
Is them. And that's okay.
What if you could use that?
Yeah.
In this context?
What if you could allow that to be exactly what you want to talk about?
Yeah. What if you use their conversation about themselves to create change in the way that they think?
Right.
That's scary in a cool kind of way.
Because essentially they've left the door open for that to happen. Because they want it to happen, consciously or unconsciously.
That's right.
That's part of, we'll talk about that in a future episode of intention and how that works.
Yeah.
Unconscious intention. So if we're talking to somebody who wants and talks, they want to talk about themselves, and you want to be able to give them something, you have lots of different options. You can approach them from a pattern perspective. You can give them a language pattern. So, for example, if they want to talk about, you know, every time I go camping, I like to sit under the stars. And they'll spend 5 minutes talking about how much they enjoy sitting out in the stars. But you need them to actually pay attention to the report that they didn't turn in last week. So you can give them a sense of urgency. You can give them that need to fulfill, to get that report turned in.
Yeah, do you remember when you were a kid and the teacher used to put a gold star on your paper when you did a great job?
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah. Now that was really, I don't know if that was really subtle for a lot of people, but I know that a lot of people may or may not have caught that, so... Should we break that down into little tiny pieces?
That's a start.
Yeah, that's a start.
We can do that. All right, good.
You can get a little twinkle in your eye when you say that.
That's right.
Part of the, I mean, we play around with puns and the way words work all the time because that's actually something that our mind is constantly doing, is trying to find the pattern.
Yeah, it's another way of going abstract,
right?
Creating words that are similar, like here and here. Like if you can hear what I'm saying, that means you're here to learn.
Right.
Your unconscious mind has to kind of go, wait a minute, which one of those is correct? It's right. Like, they're there. They're all there. It's okay.
Yeah.
and that just, that little pattern can create a bit of, just a bit of unrest in the system, so that, you know, that drops into that nice, comfortable alpha state, which we'll talk about in another.
Totally, yeah, totally separate. We have a lot to talk about.
I know, it's nice, isn't it? It's not like we're asking you to continue listening to all these sigil casts and get even more information now, won't you? Good.
This is fun.
Yeah. So you want to break it down into what it is? Because it's a combination of things.
Yes, it is.
It's a combination of, like, getting a sense and being aware of someone else's model of the world. Creating language patterns in order to create internal representations that mean something to the person in that context, that creates a, basically creates a track for their other than conscious mind to run on, so that they're in line, their ideas are in line with your own.
We want to make their ideas, or our ideas, their own, because right. it's okay. Well, I'll give you a really classic Hollywood example of that.
Perfect.
Inception.
Yes.
Inception is,
if you haven't seen the movie, you need to go rent Inception.
Yes. We should probably do a podcast just on Inception.
Love the idea.
That would be cool. But to sum up, the idea of Inception is to put an idea inside someone else's head and make them think that it's their own. In the movie, they do it through dreams. They have layers of dreams, and they have all these different ideas. The movie Inception is actually NLP and hypnosis put into a metaphorical sense, and using dreams as the metaphor.
Right.
So when we talk about doing a whole podcast on it, the whole entire movie is actually a complete hypnosis session. Very much like Avatar is a complete hypnosis session. And maybe we should just do a movies episode.
I like that idea. Do a movie, a movie set. Because here's the thing. You know, when you see, when you see a movie that creates a sensation or feeling inside your body, and you follow it, it's because you have to do one very important thing.
Yes.
And that's set aside or willfully suspend that disbelief that this can't be real.
Right.
And that's one of the critical factors of covert hypnosis. We even call that a critical factor, because if that BS detector goes off, then your hypnosis is not effective. Your influence is not effective.
Your sense of reality changes, which means that your unconscious mind responds to that reality.
Right.
Because reality is subjective.
Oh, that's a deep subject.
Yes.
Yeah.
All reality is subjective, and that means that, it doesn't mean that I can put my hand through a chair magically. It just means that what we experience is something that we can change easily through our perception, because all perception is subjective. So for example, if you have multiple people watching a scene of a crime,
uh-huh.
and they are all looking at that scene of the crime, they're going to all have different stories. They're right. all going to have a different perspective.
Right.
And we've talked a little bit about this before, but the reason I bring it up again is, when we all have this different perspective, this different idea of reality, we have to make sure that that reality that we want is the one that we get, because we believe in it. And if we don't accept it and believe that it is true, that reality changes how we experience the next event.
Right. And the converse is also true. If you change the belief, you change the reality.
Exactly.
And that's the key to what we do here. That's exactly. the key with hypnosis and NLP is therapy. It's the key to using hypnosis and NLP in conversation to covertly change another person's opinion. Is because, hey, if we can, we can't make someone do anything that's against their will.
Right.
But what if we can change their will a little bit?
Right.
If they're willing to let us do that.
Yes.
I'm just saying. You know, what if that were possible?
So basically, we have the idea of covert hypnosis as being able to jump into their reality, their model of the world.
Yep.
And we can give them something that will carry into their model of the world as a suggestion, as something that they turn into theirs.
Right. And it's not going to work immediately, of course.
Of course not.
You know, this is a suggestion that's buried.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, but we don't want to create too much of an expectation.
That's
it may or may not work immediately.
Yes. It's the most fun when you're out at a restaurant.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Yeah. So when you're having this experience of giving them something, you're essentially giving them something that they're going to chew on. They're going to make part of them. Yeah. And in order for them to do that, while the unconscious mind likes to do things very quickly,
right,
it also needs to find the pattern. And it will find the pattern.
Right.
It just has to chew on it a little bit.
Let's end with an example. Okay. I want everybody out there to think of a number between 1 to 4. If you thought of the number 3, I want you to go, oh, he's amazing. Right? Most people, if you say that, will think of the number 3. Why? Because the pattern that your unconscious mind is trying to fill in, I said the words, think of a number between 1, 2, 4. Now, even though I said the number T-O, or the word T-O, your unconscious mind picked up the word T-W-O. And so I gave you three letters or three numbers in a sequence of 4. 1, 2, 4. What's missing? 3.
Yep.
Your unconscious mind looks to fill in that pattern. So if you thought of the number 3, that's okay. You're in good company. Most people do. Now, you may not have, and that's okay too. But just understand your unconscious mind wants to recognize and fill in patterns.
It's part of who we are.
Yes. Do you think of 3?
I did think of 3.
Cool. If a plane were to crash precisely on the border between the United States and Canada, in which country would they bury the survivors?
Exactly.
Right? It's the whole... Those are just silly examples.
They're silly examples.
The patterns of the mind, yeah.
Well, we're always looking for patterns. We're always finding patterns. We have Sudoku. We have crosswords. We have all sorts of things that we hunger for.
Yep.
And covert hypnosis allows you to fill that hunger.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Nate Fowler with SigilSocial.org.
SigilSocial.org. And I'm Jay Williams with RapidEmpowerment.com.
Should I spell it too?
Nah, you can spell that one.
Okay.
Rapid Empowerment. Rapid Empowerment. It's easy. .com.
.com.
Good.
All right.
Join us next time.
This we'll have is some Sigilcast, more fun. Yeah.
Sigilcast number, whatever it is.
Number something.
It's number something. And you guys have fun. We'll see you next time. If you have questions, email them to
podcast@sigilsocial.org.
podcast@sigilsocial.org. Go to either one of the sites to hook up to our other podcasts and live things and fun freebies that we have available for you. And there's always more to come, so check in often.
Yep.
All right, great. Have a good time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us.